face filled the screen. Grant realized she was really good-looking. Bright blue eyes, strong jaw. She'd be actually beautiful if she'd just smile a little. "Grant, I just realized that you probably don't have anybody to have dinner with." Before he could reply, she added, "Neither do I." Blinking with surprise, Grant said, "I was just going to the cafeteria." She shook her head slightly. "Not the cafeteria. Why don't you meet me at the Pelican Bar in half an hour?" Happily, he said, "Half an hour. At the Pelican Bar." He wondered if anybody there would remember him. The place was jammed, as usual. Men and women packed the bar, and all the tables seemed to be already occupied. Cardenas was nowhere in sight, although Grant searched carefully through the crowd for her head of golden hair. It would be easy to miss her in the crush of bodies. The Pelican Bar had been built in a cave. The bare rock ceiling was raw, unsmoothed, and so low Grant thought he could brush it with his fingertips if he stretched a bit. Pelicans were everywhere. Stuffed doll pelicans, pelican statues of wood and metal, paintings and photographs of pelicans on the stone walls. The wide display screen behind the bar showed pelicans gliding just above the wave tops against a background of old Miami Beach hotels. Obviously, the video had been made before Florida was inundated by the greenhouse floods. "Hello?" Startled, Grant saw Cardenas standing beside him, a drink already in her hand. She was wearing a soft blue nubby sweater and a darker knee-length skirt. She was smiling slightly, but Grant thought the smile looked forced. "Hello," he replied. "You need a drink?"
"Yeah."
He followed her as she wormed her way through the crowd at the bar. The human bartender, an older, heavy-set man with pouchy eyes and a receding hairline, hollered over the buzz of the crowd,
"What's yours, pal?"
"He's new here," Grant realized. "He doesn't recognize me."
"Moon juice," Grant yelled back.
Recycled lunar water infused with carbon dioxide. The bartender nodded. Cardenas shouted to him,
"We need a table, Robbie."
Nodding again, the bartender said,
10 minutes.
9.5 minutes later, Cardenas and Grant were perched on stools at a tiny round high-top table in the far corner of the Pelican Bar, studying the menu displayed on the tabletop screen. She picked soy steak. He tapped on eel fillets. It was quieter off in the corner of the crowded, bustling place.
"You must come here pretty often," Grant said.
Cardenas nodded. Then she asked,
"You don't drink alcohol?"
"Can't afford it."
"Dinner's on me," she said. "I invited you."
Shaking his head, Grant replied, "I don't want to get into the habit." To himself, he added, "I've got enough habits to deal with without adding booze to the list." A squat little flat-topped robot rolled up to their table, bearing their dinner orders. They picked up the dishes and placed them on the table, and the robot trundled off.
"Bon appetit," Cardenas said,
flat, mechanical, without a smile. They ate in silence for several minutes. Grant thought the eel was good. Fish and shellfish were a specialty in Cellini. Aquaculture produced far more protein per input of energy than meat. Soya was the base for almost everything else, although in vitro meat, cultured in a bioreactor from animal cells, was available but expensive. At last Grant broke their silence. "I appreciate your inviting me to dinner."
"Nothing to it," Cardenas said.
"I don't like to eat alone."
"Neither do I."
She looked away from him briefly, then said, "But I'm going to have to get accustomed to it."
"Huh?"
"My husband decided today that he won't come here and live on the moon. My kids won't even come to visit me. I'll never see my grandchildren again. They'll all stay on Earth." Her voice was flat and hard. Not angry exactly, but bitter. Terribly, terribly bitter.
"Well, you can go Earthside then."
She shook her head.
"No, I can't. I'm full of nanomachines. I'm barred from Earth."
"Can't you be flushed clean?" Grant asked. "And turned into a 70-year-old hag? No thanks."
70?
"Calendar-wise, I was 72 last month."
Grant was speechless.
Cardenas looked no more than 30-ish, maybe 40 on the outside. "I've used nanomachines to rebuild my cells, to clear plaque out of my arteries, to attack viruses and foreign bacteria that invade my body, like a super immune system. Without them, I'd probably collapse and die. A nanotech is forbidden on Earth, Grant murmured. It sure as hell is, Cardenas said, with the first hint of fervor Grant had seen from her. Those stupid Luddites are scared to death of nanotechnology. Even if I got a special dispensation from some Earthside government to come and visit my grandchildren, some suicide bomber kook might assassinate me, blow me away, and the grandkids with me. Another woman would have been in tears by now, Grant thought. But Chris Cardenas's eyes were dry and hard. I've heard there are secret nanotech labs on Earth, he said. Big corporations run them. To what avail? Cardenas asked. Do you think some multinational corporation is going to pay for a nanotech lab when they can't use the products the lab produces? They could use it in secret, I suppose. She gave him a skeptical frown. For what? So their executives can stay young? Or their wives? Or mistresses, Grant said, trying to lighten the conversation's tone. Cardenas did not smile. I'll stay here on the moon. And my loving husband and my devoted children and my adorable innocent grandchildren will never see me again. Grant told her, I can't go back to Earth either. She nodded. I know about your legal troubles. I read it in your dossier. We're two of a kind, then, he said. Then he added, sort of. As if she hadn't heard him, Cardenas muttered, as far as my family's concerned, I've made a deal with the devil, and I'll have to pay the price for it. Grant heard himself say, I know what it's like making a deal with the devil. Cardenas looked as surprised as he felt. What do you mean? Feeling suddenly flustered, unsure of himself, Grant waved a hand in the air. Oh, I'm taking medications so I can work outside. You know, anti-radiation meds. Some steroids. Inwardly he fumed. Why the hell are you telling her this? She doesn't care. Nobody cares. Cardenas gave him a long, thoughtful gaze. Then she said so softly that Grant barely heard her over the noise of the crowd. Maybe there's something I can do about that. Something? What? Therapeutic nanomachines, Cardenas said. Now he fell silent. They can help you, said Cardenas, leaning closer to him. Instead of the drugs you're taking. They're medications, Grant snapped. Medications. Nanotherapy, he mused. It could help, Cardenas said, unsmiling, utterly serious. Mare Moscoviensi. McClintock was on his knees, an unusual position for him, rummaging through his kitchen's mini-sized refrigerator freezer and the cabinets stocked with packaged foods. No liquor, he saw, not even wine. He'd been at Farside for nearly 3 weeks, and he hadn't seen a drop of liquor in all that time, not even beer. Straightening up, he wondered if the lack of alcohol was Ulrich's policy. Has the man banned alcoholic drinks from Farside? If so, McClintock thought, I'll have to find some way around it. After all, rank hath its privileges. Frowning unhappily, he pulled a prepackaged meal out of the low cabinet and popped it into the microwave oven. Then he returned to his desk and resumed scrolling through the Farside Observatory's personnel files. He paid particular attention to the women. A few of them looked attractive. They'll look absolutely gorgeous after a couple more weeks, he muttered. The microwave pinged, and he took his hot meal to the room's only table, sat down and began to eat absently once he told the computer to project the personnel files onto the wall screen. Engineers, technicians, but precious few astronomers, he saw. Well, Ulrich's an astronomer, and he really doesn't need any here until the telescopes are finished. There's the kid I rode in the lobber with, he remembered. He told the computer to display Trudy Yost's file. She's going to be Ulrich's assistant. Not bad looking, he thought. But you have to be careful with these young ones. They're quick to holler about sexual harassment. Then there's this Grant Simpson fellow. Very earnest, apparently capable. Ulrich's put a lot of responsibility on his shoulders. McClintock remembered that Simpson had left a message for him. He's at Cellini and already working with Dr. Cardenas, the nanotechnology expert. Good. Ulrich's wary of nanotech, McClintock understood, but he's desperate enough to move in that direction. Almost. Your job, Carter, my lad, is to